Morning.
It's good to be able to enjoy those beautiful praises to God in song. Thank you, Terry, for doing such a good job. We continue this week in on a series that called Last Words. We go through our last three Sunday mornings together. Last week we talked about remembering who we are, remembering where we came from. This morning, I want us to take time to know who we are. Next week, I want us to think about the hope for a great future in the Lord's church. This morning, as we think about who we are, you know, we often think about that. We ask, who am I? You know, and people say, who are you? And you might say a lot of things. You might give your name to that. You might give what you do along with that question. You know, they may already know you, but who are you? But, I mean, what do you do? You know, it has a lot of things that can come under that. But who are we this morning, really? When we get down to the most important aspects of our being, who are you? I want us to think about three things this morning. Number one, when we think about who we are, we need to remember that we're the temple of God. Paul asked the church at Corinth, and he asked us today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He's talking to the church there. That's plural. It's not the individual. It is the Lord's church that you are, he says, a temple of God, and that God dwells there in his temple. We know from John chapter 4, as Jesus talked to the woman at the well, that there came an end to that time in which Jerusalem was the place where you went to God. Jerusalem and the temple there ceased to be the place where you found access to God, and yet now it is all those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. For that's what God wants. That's what He desires, a spirit. And you know, we should feel great pride, and we should see how honored we are to be this morning the dwelling place of God. For God, not just the Father, not just the Holy Spirit, but God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all dwell in this temple today. They dwell in the church. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. That household there, that word used that comes out, household, can also be translated and is translated in your New Testament, temple. I write to you, Paul says, this is the reason he's writing the letter to Timothy. He says, I write to you that you might know how to act in the temple of God, in the Lord's church. He even says it, which is the church. I want you to understand how you are to behave, how you are to act, what you are to do as you are a part of the temple of God. You are in that, which is the church, the pillar, and the support of the truth. We are today living stones being built up as a spiritual house, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22, Paul says this about us. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling, a temple of God in the Spirit. That fitted together there, that we're all these pieces being fitted together. There's an implication in that term of how tight we're being fitted together. Literally just being shoved in, and it's so tight that every piece is making the place more stable. And so we are tightly put together as this temple of God. And you know, we are, as we think about that and we apply that to our lives, we think about how we are, the stronger this congregation will only be as strong as we are close. As we are tightly knit together. Any congregation of the Lord's church will only be as strong as the members there are tightly knit together in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus would say things such as, how you treat one another will show the world who you are, right? Because if we're not tightly knit together, a lot of things just really fall apart. A lot of things, we can never be what Christ calls us to be in a lot of ways. And so we are fit closely together. Cody talked about Alexander the Great and some of the incredible battles that he fought and the incredible odds that he went up against, being vastly outnumbered. And yet his men held to a military tactic that required them to stand as close as they could to each other and never let space come between them. Because if space came between them, the formation would fall apart. So they were literally shoulder to shoulder, and everything depended on them being shoulder to shoulder and back to front, all the way back, 14, 15 men deep sometimes, and moving together and never letting that space come between them. They were tightly held together, and it made them formidable, made them be able to take on odds that are just hard to imagine. You know, we think about men in military units today and how that a military unit needs to be close to each other. They need to be looking out for each other, right? And in World War II, oftentimes paratroopers would say, I don't care who's beside me just as long as he's a paratrooper, right? Those are the guys I trust. They've got my back. They know what they're doing. Folks, we need to be that, have that kind of a closeness as well. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16, Paul goes on to say, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Folks, every one of us play a part in the Lord's church being what it's supposed to be. That it grows up by what every part supplies to it, what every person gives to it. And the more every person gives and the more people there are in that statement of people giving, the stronger and the better that temple is. The more it is what God would have it to be. It is glorious today to be a part of that close, tight-knit temple of God. You know, there is no greater place to be and belong than to that temple. And I love that temple, and I hope that you love the temple of God today. Love the temple of God because of the people that are in that temple. Because of the Lord that's the head of it and the God that I come before in it. But I love the people that are there. They are fellow royal priest with me according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Right? We're a royal priesthood in the temple of God. And you are my fellow priest. And I love the people that I have known. The kindness and encouragement that has been shown to me all my life from the Lord's church. I am blessed. And I understand that, and I try not to ever take it for granted that I grew up in this. And I'm thankful to God that I did. Because I'm thankful for people like Miss Minnevee Rainey, and Miss B, and Miss Rogers. See, I still can't call them anything but that, because that's what I called them as a child. Because I remember those ladies as far back as my memory goes, babysitting me at their houses, and teaching me God's Word, teaching me how to be the man that I have become today. I am thankful to people like Brother Bobby Key, who encouraged and corrected me. And there were times that he corrected me. A man who has preached for nearly 70 years. I'm going to listen to that. And I would say some things, and he'd go, Nathan, why don't you read this scripture and think about it and let me know what you think. And I'd read that scripture, and it would kind of say something different than what I had said. But he was so gentlemanly about it, and he was so kind and loving about it. He just wanted to help me grow. He didn't want to hurt me. He didn't want to just tear me down. He wanted to help me grow. And he took me to God's Word to help me. And I'm so thankful that I have fellow priests like him that have helped me in their lives. And there are so many here today that have shown me love and kindness and encouragement over these past 6 years and have helped me become a better preacher. I'm going to call on Brian. I'm going to mention Brian this morning. I hate mentioning names because somebody will go, "Why did you mention me?" I love you all. But, you know, there have been times, and I'm thankful to him, that Brian's asked me the hard questions, and I'm thankful for the hard questions. And he has moved my mind on some things that I once kind of thought was this way, but I began to see maybe another angle on it. And I'm thankful to him. I'm thankful for that and the encouragement that has been given to me. And there are countless others. I could spend the entire morning talking about people that have helped me. And you know what I find, and I don't want to get into next week's sermon about the great future, but you know, I know that there are countless more to come. People I don't even know yet that are going to encourage me. They're going to build me up. You know why? Because they're in this temple with me. And they're serving as priests with me. And they know what it takes. And they want to help. I'm thankful for that. May we all be grateful for and dedicated to our being this strong and close, and that we've ever be growing as the temple of God. This morning we also need to remember, as we think about who are we, as we want to think about knowing who we are sons of God. We are children of God. One of my favorite verses is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, where John says, "See how great a love the Father has shown to you or bestowed upon you, that you should be called," or that you can be called, "the children of God. And such you are," he says. I love that. Such you are. This morning, have you thought about how great it is to be called a child of God? And you are. You are when you've come to Christ. He says, "For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him." The world goes, "I don't get you, church people." Well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason the world doesn't get that. They don't get us. Because they don't know the one we're emulating, do they? They don't know the God that we live to be like. We are so proud of our families, and we stand by our families through thick and thin, and we'll defend them to our last breath, right? Don't mess with my family. Even my sister. She never liked me much. She, you know, we just were like oil and water. We never did get along. But let me tell you what. One time somebody was talking bad about me, and she jumped on them. I would have never thought she'd do that, but let me tell you what, that's family. Don't mess with my family, right? I can talk bad about them, but you leave them alone, right? I had to live with the people. I got some stored up bad talk to go. Oh, we stick up for our families. And if someone in our family was missing, we would exhaust every ounce of energy and effort to bring them home. Folks, we are the children of God. We are God's family. And that's the greatest family we'll ever be a part of. As much as I love Jeannie and Jonah and Miranda, and they are my family, they will never be what God's family is. And they must never be that. God's family exceeds that relationship. Because, you know, Jesus made it very clear that one day in heaven, I won't be Jeannie's wife. See, our society's got this so confused. I'm confused now, right? Heaven, one day I won't be Jeannie's husband. And she won't be my wife, will she? Because Jesus said these relationships, they're not going to exist in heaven. She'll be my sister. I'll be her brother. Jonah will be my brother, not my son. And we'll be the family of God, won't we? And such we are right now, as John said. It is wonderful to be in the family of God. But you know, Peter also says that we are a chosen race. You know, we talked about a moment ago, a royal priesthood, but he also says we're a chosen race. And it has, you know, when we think about race, when we think about being a chosen race, it has to do with being the offspring of someone. We are the offspring of God. We are born into His family by the water and the Spirit, according to John chapter 3, as Jesus taught Nicodemus that day. There is so much discussion about race in our nation today. And yet, my friends, only one race matters. God's chosen race. All other races mean nothing and will pass away. And may we spend our lives fighting for the only race that matters. One that has no black, has no white, no Hispanic, no Native American, no Asian, just God's chosen people. God's chosen race. Peter also says that we, in that same text, that we are a holy nation, that we are citizens of the United States today, and I'm proud of that. I don't hide that, but let me tell you what, as proud as I am of being an American, as proud as I am of being a citizen of the United States, this nation, if the Lord doesn't return one day, will fall into the dust just like all the others have. Just like all the other kingdoms seen there in the great image, or you know, in that vision that Daniel interpreted. Great stone will be the only thing that lasts, right? All the other nations are gone. They're all destroyed. They all fall into dust. And the United States will be as well. And at that time, all my pride in them will mean very little. But we should be infinitely more proud to be born into God's holy nation, to be citizens of heaven. And as such, we should be willing to stand and defend that nation, and give our blood, our sweat, tears, and lives to it and to the God to which it belongs. Friends, it is the only nation under God, indivisible, with liberty from sin and justice for all from God. May we pledge allegiance to that and give our lives wholly to standing in that nation, that holy nation of God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. And that is why Peter said that we are aliens and strangers in this world. Folks, if we're like this world, then we are just citizens of the United States. Because we're not in the holy nation of God. See, if I'm in the holy nation of God, I'm an alien. I'm a stranger. I don't really fit in this world. I don't fit in with what the multitudes think. I don't fit in with what the polls say. Because Christianity is not about a poll. And it's not about the people as far as what they think we should be. It's about what God wants us to be and commands us to be. This world is not our home, and the United States is not our nation. Heaven is our home. And the Lord's church and all who belong to it throughout the world is our holy nation. Under God. May God bless that nation, and He will, because He always has. And I believe that with all my heart. Third, we are today, and as we think about who are we are God's hands, God's feet, and God's mouth in this world. I saw in the news this morning. Apparently, there was a really unusual, rare Pokemon in Central Park. And they had news footage this morning of people rushing across the street, leaving their cars in the street to run over into Central Park to capture this Pokemon. You know you've done it. Some of you are sitting out there going, but you've caught a Pikachu, right? I like the one that says, if you fall on your face or trip over something, I'm going to laugh at you, right? Instead of having a Pikachu. But you know what? At Pokemon Go, people walking all over the place. Our church parking lot's a fill-up spot. Don't get your phone out. People, Julie says, are driving through this parking lot all day long. Come fill up. I see them walking down the street, and you know what they're doing. We need a Christian man go, don't we? Wouldn't it be great if Christians went out and searched for the lost? I guarantee you the lost are easier to find than the whatever choo-choo that is out there. Okay? You don't need your phone to find the lost. You can keep your eyes up and not trip or walk out in the road. I love the one where the child kind of got grazed by the car and was bruised up. And the mother saying that game drug her child out in the road. No, your child just didn't pay any attention to where they were going. If you can keep your eyes up, I guarantee you can find the lost. Why aren't we out there with that kind of fervor to find the lost? I found five of those things in the grocery store the other day. You know how many other people were in that store that were lost? Need to find them, don't we? Don't I? You know, we need to go out and search. Listen again what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We've mentioned each of these. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. God owns you. God owns me. My life is not mine. It's His. I'm His possession. But why are we those things? We talk about those things. We mention those things. We have them in our invitation sometimes on Wednesday nights. People talk about, you know, I'm a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, all these things. But why are we those things? We've got to read on, don't we? Why are you these things, Peter? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know why you're a royal priesthood? You know why you are God's own possession? You know why you are that holy nation? For one reason. To proclaim. To be God's mouth. To proclaim the greatness of the God that called you out of darkness and into His dear light. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us that we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We need to be telling people about that, don't we? Somebody says, who are you? I'm a Christian. Who are you? I'm in the temple of God. You go, well, people think I'm weird. You're supposed to be. You're supposed to be an alien and a stranger to the world, that you might be God's own possession. Our purpose is to teach and to show the world God. Paul refers to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 as earthen or clay vessels. But he says, yet we have this great treasure within us. Now, if you had a great treasure, you know, I have a big safe, and I've got to find moving guys that can actually move that thing. That I put my valuables in, right? I put those documents that we don't want to be destroyed. I put, you know, things that I want to make sure no one else can get their hands on. I put them in that thing. Because apparently they've put deck cord and everything else around it and you can't blow your way into it. But would you go and put all your money in some little cookie jar? Fragile. All the thief would have to do is hit it and it'd fall all apart, right? And it all fall. But he says, you know, that's us. We're these fragile vessels of clay. And yet God has placed within us, not in a safe that no one can get to. He's put it within us, this great treasure of the gospel, which we are to share. Somebody says, that's hard to do, Nathan. Cody, I really thought you were just going to take my lesson this morning. I was going to have to rewrite the thing between Bible class and free worship. But really, no person in this country should really say that. It's not very hard here. Most of the difficulty here is really what we drum up in our minds about how people are going to treat us, which oftentimes doesn't even take place. It's not even reality. A lot of times the things that we fear. But Paul, you know, even though we can say that here, and it may not always be the case, it's certainly not the case in other places in the world, Paul's fine. I'll acknowledge that it's difficult. I'll acknowledge that it's hard. Paul doesn't try to play around. He doesn't say, okay, yeah, it's easy, because he understood. And he said, yeah, it's hard. Listen to what he says as he continues on in verses 8 through 11, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested where? In our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Stephen was struck down, was he not? As he proclaimed that treasure that was in him, he was struck down, but folks, he wasn't destroyed, was he? For he received a reward from heaven for what he did. You know, sometimes we are perplexed at what our society's doing, right? Folks, don't despair. One of my preacher's friends put out there this a few weeks ago, he said, you know what? He said, this whole election just makes me remember Jesus in control. I think I'll just trust in Him, right? We've got to stop worrying so much and trusting so much about men. Get down on our knees and do some praying to the one that really does effect change. Really does make nations great. Really does provide those things that people need. We need to look to Him. Tell you what, to be willing to turn our bodies over and to have them over to death for Jesus' sake, as Paul says here, folks, because we're preaching and we're teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, no matter how brethren have tried to water that down, that's what it's talking about. To let your light so shine that others may see your good works. There is no greater good work than the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they might, through hearing that from you, through seeing that light of truth shining forth from you, that they might give honor and glory to the Father in heaven. That's what that's talking about. That's what we're called to be, lights, cities on hills that cannot be hid. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul states that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known through the church, and that is us. God has spoken through His Word, and we reveal that Word to a lost and a dying world. They may never pick up a Bible. May they hear God's Word from us if they don't. May they have the opportunity to know that there's a Jesus that loves them and died for them. Because they may never read it in the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But maybe they'll hear it in the words of one of us, as we speak the words of God to them. We reveal the world to a word to a lost and dying world. We do that so God's purpose of saving men can be accomplished. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul said, and we read this just a moment ago, but I want us to focus on a different part of the text. I write so that you will know how to conduct oneself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. Folks, that's what we are. The pillar is that which holds up. We hold up the truth for everybody to see. And when they're out there screaming things that are against God, we're holding the truth up above it, that they might know that what they scream and what they holler and what they are so passionate about is not what God would have them to do. And we are the foundation that we exist within God's Word. We hold to it. If all the world turns away, we stand where Christ stands. We are found. It is the foundation of truth right here. If you want to find truth, you come to the Lord's church. For we are the foundation, and we will hold it up for you to see. Not a sign, not a name, but a truth and a man, Jesus Christ. Paul told the Romans that those that bring the gospel to others have beautiful feet. But also in that same text, in verse 10, he makes it clear that those people out there can't ever know what to do. They'll never find faith if we don't ever say anything. How will they know, right? Unless someone opens their mouth. God has tasked us with that. To be His hands, to be His feet, to be His mouth. in this world. Even when we deal with Cornelius, an angel goes and he doesn't tell Cornelius. Could the angel have told Cornelius what to do to be saved? Sure. That's not what he did, was it? You go see Peter. He'll give you words that will lead you to salvation, right? It's man's job. God has given that to us to tell others His words that they might be saved. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry those glad tidings. Who will speak in order that God's words will be heard? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You know, it's the same question that was asked to Isaiah. And I want us to listen to his answer. And remember who's asking the question. It's God. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Do you understand what God's asking Isaiah right there? Who will be my feet? Who will go? Who will be my mouth to tell these people what they need to do? Isaiah says, "Here am I. Send me." Is that you? It's more than words. I mean, I know, yeah, we're, "Oh yeah, I'll say, here am I, send me, yeah. I've got to go eat." It's got to be more than just saying those words. It is, "Here am I, send me. Where do I go now? I'm gone." How do I respond to that? "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Folks, that's got the location covered, doesn't it? Go. The world. Just put your map, finger on the map and go. Preach the gospel. That's the message. Doesn't matter how you go. You can drive your car. You can walk around with your phone on the GPS like Pokemon Go. Doesn't matter. Will you do it? Because when God gave that great commission, that's exactly what He's doing. He's asking, who's going to do it? Who's going to go and preach the gospel? Who's going to go make disciples of all nations? Be the hands of God in work. Be the feet of God in going. Be the mouth of God speaking His words. Who will do that? Here am I. Send me. Who's with me? Do you know who you are? There's a Greek aphorism that says, "Know thyself." You've probably heard that, right? It goes way back. Know thyself. And then a lot of people kind of turn that all around and make it mean a lot of different things. But when it was said, what the Greeks were trying to say was, it was a warning. It was a warning to pay no attention to the multitudes. That's what it was. You be who you are, and it doesn't matter what all those people out there are doing. You are what you are. You are who you are. And be that, and don't just go along with everybody else that says this is the way it should be. That's what it was about. You see an application for us today? It doesn't matter what they're doing out there. It only matters who are you. Are you a child of God? Because if you're a child of God, none of that matters. Except trying to bring them away from that. But as far as what you do and how you live, that has nothing to do with what you do and how you live. Because the only thing that has to do with what you do and how you live is right here. It's not going to be on the nightly news, and it's not going to be on a poll. It's going to be in this book. Know thyself. Are you this? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. All that you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's who you should be. And I pray this morning that's who you are. And you'll be that no matter what everybody else out here is doing. When Paul stood in Athens, in the midst of 30,000 pagan temples and all the Gross immorality. Athens made America look like a convent, right? All the terrible immorality. And he stood on that hill. And you know what? Paul was Paul. He was the child of God preaching the gospel. And all that going on didn't change who he was. But he called him out of it. And that's what we are, the called out. As a nation, as a temple, as a family. Are you, this morning, a living stone in the temple of God? Are you a royal priest at work in that temple? Are you a child of God? A member of God's precious family? A part of God's chosen race? A citizen of heaven and the holy nation under God? Under His heavenly rule? Are you the human extension of God's will and work this morning? Do you say, "Here am I, send me," but understand that that's not good enough? Do you then get up and go where He sends? God bless you if you do. Keep it up. Never stop. And one day you will be rewarded as a faithful servant of the God that possesses you, that owns you. You're His. Do you know who you are this morning? Are you faithful? Are you living as God has commanded you to live? Maybe you know, we go further back than that. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you understand what you need to know in order to become that child of God, to be born into that family? If you don't, we want to tell you what God said. We want to be His mouth. For you can never know unless somebody reaches out to help you. Remember the eunuch? You understand what you're reading? Well, how can I? Unless somebody teach me. And then he preached Jesus. We'd be glad to preach Jesus to you. What he said. Doesn't matter what Nathan says. Only matters what he says. We hope and pray that you'll make that decision today if you see your need to do that. If you already understand what you need to do to obey the gospel, maybe you've already been taught, maybe you've been in a Bible study, and you know what you need to do. You understand what it means to believe in Jesus. You understand what it means to repent of your sins, to turn away from a sinful life, to be God's possession. You understand and are willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God. You know that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to rise, to walk a new life, having been born by that water and the truth into God's family. Then do that this morning. Don't delay. And you can know when somebody says, "Who are you?" You can say, "I'm a child of God." If you're a child of God, maybe you haven't been giving your all to the family. Maybe you haven't been really serving as that royal priest in the temple. Then return. Be that faithful child of God. Say, "Here am I, send me," and then go. We can assist you in this journey. We can help you in a way that you need spiritually. We hope and pray that you will let us as we stand, as we sing.